Yeah, here come the rooster.
Would never say that word, Sean.
Welcome everybody to Squibblood Podcast. I'm Sean.
I'm Case.
Case, what's wrong with you?
Oh, we're going straight into it?
What's wrong, dude?
Okay. I thought we were going to say, I'm congested.
And I'm drunk.
Yeah, because that's what's going on this one.
We got a crazy podcast for you.
We got a little bit of the sniffles over here on this side, and then I let Sean get a little bit twisted.
Case encouraged me to get margaritas for dinner, so.
Yeah, I had to make sure. I need Sean to be absolutely fucking twisted for what's about to happen.
I think we're going to have a really good podcast on this Monday morning, whenever you're listening to this, ladies and gents. So.
Oh, my God. All right. I haven't done a good one in a while. Last one might have been a little gypped up. Sorry, everybody. It was just us complaining about guns. It was awesome.
To be fair, we've had
busy... It's a gun podcast.
We've had busy lives. So I think we get a free pass for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's jump right into this. Let's talk about weapons that didn't make it into the U.S. service or didn't last very long. Do you have any that come to mind?
Well, the M14.
M14's like the big one. I think of the main service rifles and main weapons of the American military, the M14 had the shortest lifespan of any of them. So,
yeah.
What went wrong with the M14?
So the M14, like, they had a whole bunch of people who trained on it, mostly Marines, but also the Army kind of trained on it, and then we jumped straight into the Vietnam War and switch right to the M16A1, a.k.a. the AR-15.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And it was, wasn't the M14 308?
It was 308, yeah.
Yeah, which might be one of the reasons that it got thrown out very quickly, because it's harder to mass produce 308. But also, like, it kicked like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it had a very.
It was automatic.
It was fully automatic, and it was a 308, which had very poor compensation within the rifle. It had pretty egregious recoil. I think of any 308 battle rifle, you'd think of like the FAL and the G3, things of that era. It had the worst recoil of any of them.
Yeah.
The
videos of people shooting the automatic are pretty sick.
Yeah, it just runs away. People are just going, oh, God, gee willikers, as it like runs away from them and shoots 308 into the stratosphere.
Yeah. We've talked about the M14 a lot, so that's kind of a freebie, but I got one that's pretty good for you.
Let's hear it.
The MP7.
MP7?
The military was, like, really pushing it. Like, they really wanted it to be in.
Is it not in service anymore?
It might be in service, but it's, like, failed. Like, they really want the SEALs to use it and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, they were pushing it to replace service rifles, and it didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, like, a little backup and, like... Obviously, everybody complains about it, and it was a weird round, but that's it was such a cool gun.
Well, I know it was marketed by HK as a PDW, but you're saying it was, like, people wanted it to replace main service weapons?
People thought it was going to replace, like, M16s on, like, SEAL teams and stuff, but that was kind of just, like, what they probably, HK was pushing it for. There was no thought into it, but the fact that it got issued to, like, SEALs and stuff means maybe they had the ideal.
You got to think about what specific use case a SEAL team might be using that weapon for. And I guess in certain situations it would be better than like a short-barreled rifle, but it's so specific and niche.
Have you seen the like 80s or 90s movie Navy SEAL?
With what's that one guy who was in Two and a Half Men?
The whole movie they use the MP5.
MP5, yeah.
And then
it's
the MP7, which might be why they were like pushing for it.
I Charlie Sheen is that guy, right?
Yeah, but
I've never seen that movie.
Like, the SEALs were point shooting the MP5s for, like, 20 fucking years.
Right.
So whenever the MP7 showed up, that's probably why they were, like, letting it in a little bit. They probably thought higher of it.
Yeah, I just feel like the MP7
failed.
It's a cool-looking gun. We've talked about it before, so we don't got to hash into it too much. But that's an interesting thought that it wanted to be, like, a U.S. service weapon, and it's kind of not. Yeah. I'd be so curious to know what numbers are behind the MP7. Like, how many servicemen have actually used it, because I know that at any given time there's like 5,000 Navy SEALs in service, like actively, which is not that many. And then how many of them actually use the MP7, and then how many of them go on to write a book about
the
MP7?
There was this TV show on whenever it was like 2012 or whatever,
yeah,
and it's called like Future Weapons. Uh-huh. And it's trying to show all the weapons that, like, we're going to be using in warfare because we're America.
Yeah.
And we're pushing, like, war. So yes. We're going to make a show about future weapons. And the MP7 was on there. And they were hyping it up. And then the other one was the side shot. Remember the side shot?
I do remember the side shot. Which is
a pistol that was basically on this arm that would turn around corners, and it had a camera so you could shoot around corners.
Yep.
Yeah. That was, like, two of the episodes at least.
So, interestingly enough, the Germans in World War II invented a similar to the side shot.
The STG?
Yeah, the STG-44. They also made it for the MP-40. There's a few variants of, like, a side shot-esque thing. It was basically just a... they curved gun barrels to make it to where you could shoot around corners.
Yeah.
And then they affixed mirrors to the scopes of their guns so they could shoot around corners. And that was specifically designed for the Battle of Stalingrad, which is just urban fighting in World War II.
Yeah.
It didn't work. I mean, like, you could hypothetically shoot. It did
curve the bullet, though.
It did curve a bullet, but basically what would happen is that when the bullet hit that first bend, like a rifle bullet, let's say an STG-44 round, it would hit that first bend of the barrel and then shatter and become almost like a shotgun-esque projectile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's still lethal, but your accuracy is completely thrown away now.
And another thing about it was, like, even if the barrel did work, it was only good for, like, 200 shots.
If that.
Even. Yeah.
I mean, like, it just destroyed your barrel.
Hole in the barrel, yeah.
Yeah, it just destroyed it.
And then, like, the sight they made was, like, fancier than the barrel ideal. Like, they made a very fancy sight to be able to aim around corners.
Yeah, like a scope with mirrors.
And
they
should have spent more time on the barrel.
Yep.
It was crazy.
So they really did that with two ideas in mind. They said, like, urban fighting, peeking around corners so you could shoot around corner without exposing your body.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. And then also they affixed that to certain armored vehicles like tanks and said if someone is close enough to the vehicle to be a threat to it, like throw a bomb on it or whatever, but your main guns and your machine guns can't reach that person because they're too close,
mm-hmm.
that would be a method of, like, sticking a curved barrel to where you could shoot people that were, like, in front of or beside the tank. But too close for the machine guns.
Would you say the M2 flamethrower could have been not got rid of, but could you see it as something that you would think would fail in the military? It was very good for clearing bunkers, but it was a bomb strapped to everybody.
Well, first of all, that's a misconception that it was a bomb strapped to people. It didn't explode when you shot it.
Okay.
It don't explode when you're shot.
I mean, you're just slow. That's why they were all dying?
It's very slow, and they became a target for the enemy, yeah. Because you strapped, like, 80 pounds to your back, and you can't run very fast.
And you don't want to be the guy with a flamer, because they want to kill you first.
Yeah, and also, like, your range on that weapon is significantly lower than, let's say, a bolt-action rifle. So you have to get very, very close to whoever you're shooting at, which is uncomfortable.
By the way, by the standards of the military now, wherever you, like, get a job and you're a machine gunner, you're an infantryman and stuff, it's almost, like, insane that you would get a job that is the M2 flamer.
Yeah.
Or a flame marine.
Flame marine?
Yeah, a flaming...
Flaming...
marine.
Can't say that word.
Anyways, but, yeah, it's just, like... That would be like a death trap. You would know, everybody would know it's a death trap. Who were the guys that were signed up for that? Fucking men. That's
well, oftentimes they were assigned to that role and didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
They just said, hey, you're doing this, go do it. A good example of that, a living World War II veteran, at the time of this recording, he's alive, he's probably not going to be around for too much longer.
Yeah.
Don Graves, the Marine, who was on Iwo Jima with a flamethrower. He's the only living flamethrower Marine from that.
Iwo Jima.
Yeah. And he was getting work done. They selected him as a flamethrower because he was the smallest guy in his unit.
What? Just because he's the smallest?
Yeah, I think he was like 5'6 or something like that.
Wait a second.
What?
I could have been a flamer.
Cool. He was like the smallest guy, and he was like a super skinny little kid, basically.
Yeah.
And they're like, you are the smallest target, so you get to be the flamethrower.
Oh my god.
They
would fuck me.
Probably. But yeah, he was a flamethrower unit on Iwo Jima, and I won't mince his words. You can go listen to him talk about it, but he talks about his experiences using a flamethrower in World War II, and
he didn't like it.
You know, I don't think anyone liked being in Iwo Jima. So
especially is Iwo Jima where Gunny Bassalone died?
Yes, it is.
It was on the beaches, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he really didn't like it.
He talks about he was friends with John Bassalone.
Yeah. It was like a big deal whenever he died.
Yeah, it was.
He got hit by mortars.
Yeah.
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 But freaking, What's another gun in the U.S. military? Probably. This one's going to hurt you.
Oh, go ahead.
The SCAR.
Okay, we're going to have a podcast fight. Our first podcast fight.
It failed. Our first one, huh?
The podcast, we fight, we've never fought. This is our first one.
We've only loved.
Make love, not podcast fight.
Yeah.
First of all, the SCAR is still in active service. I don't know who told you it wasn't. People are still using the SCAR.
Who told me it wasn't? Me.
Yeah?
I made it up.
You made it up?
Yeah.
Source, I made it up.
I am the internet.
There are people who are still using the SCAR in modern conflict. Yes, it's special forces groups who are, like, basically choosing what weapons they want to use.
Just the fellas?
Just the fellas, the boys.
With their, the fellas left.
They got their sunglasses pushing their long hair out of their eyes, and they're not shaven. And they're using the SCAR. That's who's using the SCAR in the U.S. military.
The SCAR was at Black Hawk Down.
No.
Ask me.
It was not.
I was there.
SCAR wasn't even made yet when the Black Hawks were down.
Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't.
All the choppers had 15 fucking SCARs on each side.
Just
laying it down.
Fuck you talking about, Case. This is why we can't have a congested drunk podcast, because I'm too weak to refute your stupid arguments.
Let me tell you about fucking Black Hawk Down. I was there.
Oh, yeah. Fuck our current topic. Just talk about Black Hawk Down. I love Black Hawk Down.
Gordy's gone, man.
I'll be outside. Good luck.
All right. What's the next gun? Which one do you want to talk
about?
The
M2 submachine gun. Which I think I've talked about this in the podcast briefly before, but so we have the M1 Thompson.
Yes.
And then you have the M3 grease gun.
Mm-hmm.
Case, what's between 1 and 3?
2.
Yeah.
Hey, so, I got one, guys.
So the Thompson was the main submachine gun of World War II, and then in 1945, the U.S. military had the grease gun, which is the M3. But in between those two, there was one submachine gun that was really impressive, and it was doing well, really well in its trials, and it was going to replace the Thompson. And then right as they were about to make the switch, they had the grease gun also in trials.
Uh-oh.
And they found out that the grease gun could be made at about half the price.
Oh, no.
So the M2 submachine gun never went anywhere.
Lost to time.
But basically, it was an H&R submachine gun that was like half the weight of a Thompson and had like two-thirds of the fire rate and fired a 45 caliber round. So same as the grease gun and same as the Tommy gun.
Too expensive.
Well, the grease gun also shot 45. They were all 45 ACP.
Much like Dayton a 10, it's just too expensive and you gotta let them go.
Yep. So the M2 submachine gun was one of the nicest submachine guns ever made. It was direct blowback. It had a wooden stock. It had a 20-round box mag. It was just, it was good. It was a good gun. There was really nothing bad to say about it. It was reliable.
He was a good guy.
He was a good gun. And it never made it. There's like 4 working copies in the world.
He would have been the guy.
So you replace the M2, which was like, it was very similar to the M1 carbine.
Yeah.
In its appearance. It was just like a wooden stock gun with a box magazine about halfway through it. Really cool little submachine gun. And never went anywhere. So it didn't last in U.S. service. It really should have. I think it would have been really neat to just like have, like let's say submachine guns were legal to just like, for, you know, just buy over the counter.
They're not.
You got to do a bunch of paperwork, but you can have them. But that M2 would have been a coolest, like it would have been so cool to have a modern version of that.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't meant to be.
Is there any guns that were like made and put in service and then they're gone now that you think shouldn't have had that happen?
Like shouldn't have been replaced?
Yeah, shouldn't have been replaced.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I definitely do. I think the M16A1 was better than many of its like
replacements.
Yeah. Like I think the M16A4 is a monster and probably should not have been adopted. The 3-round
burst one.
It's 3-round burst, and also the M16A4 is like what is it, like 10 pounds?
Yeah, it's 7.8.
Are you sure it's 7.8?
Well, that's the one we had in the military. Was in the Marines.
Was it an A4?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's 7.8. I mean, it definitely is heavy as fuck. Because you know how I was holding your SCAR forward?
Yeah.
Like that. We had to do that whenever I was in boot camp and I thought I was going to die.
I did that with the M4 and it wasn't that bad.
With the fucking 16A4, I thought I was going to die. And also you had to hold the charging handle down like this, but they would make you do it with one finger and I thought I was going to fucking lose my finger.
Yeah, the A4, I think that the M16A4 it's not like it's a bad gun. It's not a bad gun.
Yeah.
But it might be one of the worst variants of the AR-15.
It definitely is.
Because it's way too heavy. It's got a bunch of unnecessary crap. The burst
feature doesn't work.
Burst feature sucks.
Yeah.
I think that, like, the M16A1 is better than the A4 and the A2.
There's the way to... How did he mess it up? Wherever you can mess up the burst feature, wherever it will only shoot one shot. It's pretty easy to do.
I'm not familiar with this.
Grantham had the A4 in his video. Yeah. And, like, if you just kind of shoot it normally, yeah, you can mess up the rhythm of it.
Oh, I see.
And it's supposed to... You put it on... It's between... If you switch it between single and burst...
I see.
In a certain way. If you put it on burst after, like, putting it on single, then you could pull the trigger and it'll only shoot one shot.
Gotcha. Because
the system doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it stutters and you can outrun it, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And, like, you can pull it and it shoots two, you can pull it and it shoots one, or you can pull it and it shoots three. And it'll, like, reset itself. But there's a chance that it doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
So, I don't... I mean, it's not like I've done extensive research and talked to a bunch of, like, GWAT vets or whatever, but I have a feeling that most people that use the A4 in actual combat just, yeah, kept on semi-auto and just, yeah, never messed with the burst ever.
And isn't it Stoner who was said that he would never want the AR to be in a burst? Or was,
yeah,
it?
It was Stoner, yeah.
Yeah.
So Stoner was like, he didn't like burst feature guns. He thought they were a gimmick and they wouldn't last.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought? He was right. And then also, the thing with Stoner to keep in mind, he had a very specific vision for the AR. It's not like he can do no wrong, but he had a very specific thing he wanted the AR to be and what he thought it should be. And he's like, if you want to do something that's not that, get a different gun.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is what it's supposed to be. So he thought that the AR-15 should be a lightweight fighting rifle. And to this day, whenever it comes up about, like, politics, about, like, well, is the AR an assault rifle? Is it a sporting rifle? Is it any one... The correct term to use, in my opinion, because this is what Stoner said, a lightweight fighting rifle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So the AR-15 was originally supposed to be like the 6.5-pound gun to replace the M1 carbine. It was semi or full auto that shot this light round that was meant for like intermediate ranges, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. The thing is that it was so good at that job that it replaced... It's like full-size battle rifle counterpart, the M14.
Yeah.
Full-time, so...
It's just heavy as fuck.
It's just, yeah, I mean, the M14 was heavy as fuck. It's
like 12.5 pounds.
Yeah. And the M16A4 is still lighter than that.
Yeah.
But the M16A4 is also like this monster of a gun where it's got like the collapsible spooky stock and the big sights and the handguard that's way too big.
It's just all the butt stock, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Like,
they need the mag pull.
Yeah.
Adjustable, which, yeah, everything upgraded to because it's so much smarter.
Yeah.
But that buttstock is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking car jack. It's rough.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's just a huge hunk of fucking plastic.
Yeah. So the M16A4, I think, was the worst iteration of the M16. A1's a good gun. It had, yeah, full auto instead of burst, which... Again, full auto is probably not the most useful on a gun like that.
M16A3 had full auto.
It did, but it was never adopted by hardly anyone.
Yeah, it was Special Forces, I think, and the Navy.
And Air Force. And, yeah.
Like, no one had it.
Yeah, it was very...
It was so cool.
It was very cool. The A3 is a good gun, but yeah. I didn't even include it because, like, to me, that's not, like, a main service rifle.
That was one of the big letdowns of me learning about the... Like, I was like, didn't the A4 have another version that was automatic? And I looked it up, and I was like, it did. But they didn't give it to anybody.
Yeah, it was like...
What the fuck?
It was used by exactly 4 guys. Yeah. And then that's it, yeah.
It was like, God damn it.
The M4 carbine is full auto.
But it was like the same... the M4A1 and the M4.
Yeah.
Well, there's a version of the M4A1 that's burst too, right? It's the M4? It's just called the M4, I think.
I forget, honestly. I'm trying to remember what we used in boot camp. We just called it the M4.
Yeah, like, yours wasn't burst, right?
No, it was full auto.
The M4A1 is definitely the full auto one.
That's probably what we did.
Because we have the M4A1 in the Marines.
I will say...
It was cool.
We never shot full auto with it. It was only semi. We never touched full auto.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to touch full auto.
Yeah.
I shot burst all the time in the military because it was funny, but not because you're supposed to.
Right.
But I'm going to break the rules.
Sure, why not?
One thing about me, I'm going
to
break the rules.
If it's got the lever that says burst, then why not do burst?
I swear I did not mean to do that. I swear. What's this XM8?
It's an experimental rifle that is basically an AR-18. You've probably seen it.
It looks like a big old fucking fuck.
It looks like a Halo gun.
Yeah, it's looks a like Halo gun.
Bungie icon. You're familiar with the G36, right? The German assault rifle?
Yeah, it looks like a more round version.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a curvy version of that. Like, let's say you took a G36 and said, I want this thing to be able to slide down a snowy mountain.
You know why I know about the XM8?
How?
Because whenever they were probably trying to get it in service, yeah. Battlefield Bad Company 2 came out, and it was one of the guns in the game.
Yeah.
And then it failed in the military, so then they fucking never saw it in a video game again.
Yeah. That's probably it. The XM8 is one of those guns where it was in the early 2000s, late 90s, and it was really supposed to replace the M16 permanently.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a gun that was very modular. You could equip a scope to it or a foregrip or a bigger magazine to make it a machine gun.
Wait, like we already have that.
What do we have?
The AR-15.
Yep, the AR-15 does all of that. All you have to do is modify it just a little bit, and it does all that perfectly.
The XM8 looks like a narwhal.
It is, with no horn.
It looks like a whale.
A whale, yeah. That's a narwhal with no horn.
Damn, that's crazy. I did not know that was America that was trying to get that in.
Well, a lot of European countries also were looking into it. It's supposed to be like a NATO gun. We haven't even talked about NATO on the podcast, about like all the weird requirements for like what is a NATO round. Why is it called 5.56 NATO? Why is it 7.62x51? All that stuff, right?
We could just do a whole podcast on what the fuck is NATO.
We could.
It's fucking stupid. One day, but cool.
I still want to do a full podcast on the AR-15 and just talk about its history and like its all its different variants and stuff.
Hell yeah.
One day we will. Not today. Not this week, folks.
Fucking.
But
yeah, this podcast is called "What the Fuck Is NATO?"
The North American Trade Organization.
It literally is like, it's just like a mess.
It is a mess.
It's fallen from what it's supposed to be.
Well, we won't get into that today. But what I will say is that the XM8 is a very interesting gun. Basically, there was like this phase of every country in Europe adopting a different variant of the AR-18. And we talked about this briefly, but like the UK had their L86 bullpup.
Yeah.
France had the FAMAS. Yeah. And like everybody was independently researching their own gun just to basically make a shitty version of the AR-18. And meanwhile, the U.S. just stuck with the M16.
The FAMAS was okay.
It was not okay, in my opinion.
It was okay, but they ruined it. They made it worse and worse.
I think the FAMAS was never okay. I think FAMAS was plagued by development issues. I've read a lot of books, specifically I've read one book about the FAMAS.
Yeah. But
I've taken a very different opinion than that of the author of this book. Hey, don't name drop people.
Docs.
Here's the thing. The FAMAS is a very cool gun, but there's a reason it got replaced.
Yeah.
It had so many problems and so many issues that needed to be resolved. And how much can you polish a turd before you just say, you know what, let's stop trying to use this?
Let me guess. HK416.
You got it. That's what they're using now.
Is that what they are?
Yes.
I was just fucking with you, but I'm guessing that's what it is.
That's what every country adopts. They're like,
did they adopt it?
Yes.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's like when a country has a shitty bullpup, they're like, oh, this thing isn't that good, actually, after we developed it for 30 years.
Buy the best gun ever made.
Like, oh, HK made a better thing? Okay, we'll just use that then.
HK made the best thing. The HK416 is beautiful.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's literally the best shit ever.
And it's perfect because it's like a NATO gun. It uses Stenag mags. It's great.
The whole, like, there's just, like, this whole genre of people who, like, watch movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And want guns that they think look cool to be work.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, that might be who's running these governments.
It might be,
literally. Because there's no reason the FAMAS... The XM8 is in tons of movies still, by the way.
It is, yes.
The L86 is in tons of movies.
Yep.
And they just look like space guns.
They do.
They don't work.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of gun control laws passed in the U.S. that are specifically because of movies and games, like stuff that's scary.
Yeah.
Like, there was rules about Glock because of Die Hard. Like, they're like, this gun can go through a metal detector. No,
what about
it can't.
The M9 taped to his back? Ban the M9, please!
No tape and guns in the same house.
Please tape, ban the M9, it was in Die Hard. Get rid of it. The M9 Beretta needs to die.
They're like, this is the U.S. military's war gun.
Here's how you know if your gun shouldn't be in military occupation. Is if they make a space movie about it, and then they take your gun, that is your military gun, and they make it shoot lasers.
Yeah.
Like, if they take your P90 and it shoots lasers.
You fucked up.
Yeah, or they take your FAMAS and it shoots lasers now in a TV show. That means they had to fix it. They were like, this gun's so bad, it shoots lasers now.
Yeah, that's a rough day, pal.
What's, like, the P90's got to be number one.
Oh, I think it's the Broomhandle Mauser, C96.
Is, like, the number one movie feature?
Well, I think Han Solo uses it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. The MG42?
Yeah, that's
also bad. Shows up everywhere in Star Wars.
Star Wars also uses the Sterling submachine gun.
Yeah, they just like put a whole bunch of like tubes and paint them black.
They put weird scopes on them and yeah, it's horrible.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's rough.
But no, like, what's the number one like sci-fi movie gun that they always it's the P90 or the Vector?
Yes, but also the Hera Arms furniture on an AR-15.
Oh, yeah.
It's in every movie.
Are you talking about wherever they make the big foregrip thingies on the front and shit?
Yeah, the curly thumb grip thing.
That's so stupid.
I hate that shit.
I love that. Whenever I see it, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Hera Arms made furniture for an AR, and now it's in every movie because it looks weird.
They try to make, like, Covenant guns out of guns that already work. Yeah. Like, it's fucking Halo.
Yep. Oh, man. Imagine if I put a giant hourglass and then like a figure eight skating rink on top of a toilet. Does that make the toilet flush better? No. Is it still just a toilet? Guess what? That's what I just did.
It's like, you can also tell like how much the budget of a movie is by what the like space guns are.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a billion P90s, it has a good budget.
Yeah.
But then if there's like a couple FAMASs in there, you're like, oh, bad budget.
They shit the bed on this one.
Yeah, those are probably real.
Yeah. Real FAMASs.
Yeah, it's cheaper to get than one P90.
Oh, fuck.
Whenever they make movies. All right, let's do the next topic.
Last gun that didn't make it in the U.S. military, magazine-fed M1 Garands.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Case, if your eyes look in two different directions and you have less chromosomes than the average bear, you might be saying, isn't the M14 just a magazine-fed M1 Garand?
Yeah, but the magazine goes in the top.
What?
Does the magazine go in the top of the M1 Garand?
So, you're going to have to start over. What are you saying?
Is that what the problem's going to be with it?
No.
Oh. I was hoping that was what it was going
to be. Well, first of all, the M1 Garand doesn't accept... I'm going to be really a technical asshole. Imagine me pushing up my glasses while I explain this.
Well, it feeds from the top because the clip.
An in-block clip goes into the top of the gun, but the M1 Garand does not have a detachable magazine. You don't feed it with magazines. And if you're confused by that, a magazine has a spring in it. The M1 Garand, the in-block clips you put in, it's a metal band that holds rounds in it.
Yeah.
But there's no spring pushing the rounds into the gun. That's in the gun.
So what failed?
Well, hold on, because... Case.
Wait, what does it say?
Magazine-fed Garands.
Yeah, I would think that the magazine would go on the top because that's where the stripper clip goes in.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
no,
I'm saying, is that what the problem
Sorry, was? No.
He turned into an asshole. Fuck you, Case.
No, I didn't.
All right, go.
I misunderstand what you're saying. Okay, so they basically made detachable magazines for the M1 Garand. So they took the magazine spring out, but if you understand how a Garand works... That's, like, the fire control group is directly linked to the magazine.
Yeah.
So it fucks everything up if you don't have that in there. So what they did is they made a separate fire control group for the gun, which is already kind of a big process.
Yeah.
And then made detachable magazines separate. And then also had to make a system where, depending on how many rounds you had in the gun, the gas system still worked. Because the gas piston goes through the magazine in a normal Garand. And so they had to design a detachable one and make, like, uniform, like, manufacturing requirements that were all the same, like the tolerances on it, the gas system would work through the mag.
So that's going to be way more expensive than a normal mag.
Yeah, so it was actually cheaper to just make the M14.
Yeah.
To redesign the M1.
Redesign everything.
But there was a small select amount of magazine-fed M1 Garands that existed that were chambered in 30-06 that had 20-round box magazines.
20 rounds?
20 rounds of 30-06.
God damn.
And they took detachable box mags.
It's 8, right? Or is it...
The M1 Garand is 8, yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
So imagine how big those motherfuckers were.
Dude, 30-06 is so big, by the way.
Yeah, it's a huge round.
It's huge.
It's way overpowered for shooting at people. Like, it really doesn't need to be that big.
308 automatic through, like, the bar and stuff is already insane.
30-06 in the bar.
It's 30-06 in the bar?
Yeah.
Never mind. 30-06 in the bar is already insane.
It's a lot, yeah.
The fact 30-06 in the bar?
Yes.
How the fuck did people fucking control that whenever they were getting thrown around by the M14?
They didn't.
Oh my god.
The BAR had a much slower fire rate than the M14, by the way.
You did the Colt Maunder
fucking
rant on the last one. I did. That's insane that's a 30-06.
It is 30-06, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's why
it's so fast.
Bonnie and Clyde got ambushed. They got cut in half with that shit.
Yeah, that car looked like a fucking war zone.
It did.
We didn't talk about that enough in the last one. That fucking car got fucked.
I think that it's like over 100 rounds hit the car.
It's like 1,000.
They fucked it up really bad.
Have you seen the pictures of it?
Yeah, they fucked it up.
Yeah, it's
so
bad.
I'm pretty sure those agents who shot at the car were like, we shot it with our rifles, and then when we're out of ammo for those, we switched to our shotguns.
They didn't go near it until they shot it like a million times.
Yeah, they shot with their rifles, emptied those, emptied their shotguns into it, and then emptied all their pistols into it, and then they got close enough. And they're like, yeah, they look like a fucking souffle in there.
Well, they were literally like... I watched that Netflix movie. They were, like, scared of Bonnie and Clyde.
They were, because they would just kill every cop that tried to arrest him.
Yeah, they thought, like, they were, like, the bee's knees. And they weren't just, like, shooting cops who were fucking drinking coffee and eating donuts and not paying attention back then.
Yeah, I mean, really, yeah.
And then just, they like, sent the fucking...
Kill squad
yeah. against them, and the kill squad was scared.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a scared kill squad, apparently, because they fucking Swiss cheese those.
They did. They fucked them up real
bad. It was bad.
Bonnie was nearly cut in half via gunfire.
Well, they also, like, drove, or they, like, pulled the car through town to, like, kind of show off what they did.
Yeah.
And that was where the big uprise came from. Like, you just fucking killed these fucking poor kids. And it was like... Not poor kids. They're still murderers.
Yeah, they murdered.
But they got Swiss cheese so hard, people felt bad.
But I think by modern standards, they probably would have been some outrage about like, hey, you should probably like arrest them instead of shooting them. But also, like, fuck those people, dude.
By modern standards, those cops would have been fucking lynched.
Yeah, they would have been fucked up real bad.
They would have fucking been pissed.
But also, Bonnie and Clyde murdered how many people? Like, fuck them.
A lot.
Oh yeah, they killed a lot of
people.
They're
like, I don't know. The town loved them. Like, the town was
for some reason. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see any, like, people, like, romanticize that lifestyle. Nah, not for me. Fucking.
Well, it was, like, a different time where, fucking everybody was poor as shit and all this stuff. And they were just criminals and people. They were, like, the superheroes of the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then they got Swiss cheese.
The Colt Monitor.
Imagine Superman got Swiss cheese.
Or Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spidey sense ain't gonna save you.
Aunt May, no.
Okay, Case.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the RPG and the AT-4.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we didn't have to, like, go crazy on this or, like, anything, but RPG is rocket-propelled grenade.
Yeah.
And the difference is that almost every bazooka, RPG, whatever you want to call them, missile launcher, is going to have a back blast area. So behind you has to be clear. Like, whenever you shoot it, and before you shoot it, you have to yell, back blast area clear. And then, like, people will yell if it isn't or if it is. And if it is, then you can shoot, which is a big deal. And that's because the rocket is going to kind of propel backwards. And almost all of the ones that are made by everybody, you can hold it. The RPG is just a grenade, so it's going to be even less. But, like, AT-4s are one shot. The SMA, you can reload. But, like, the RPG is going to come out, but it's going to, like, make a funnel of energy that's going to push on you.
Yeah.
And it will blow a hole in the guy behind you, which is why you need to make sure no one's behind you.
Yeah.
Anyways, Russia made a YouTube video wherever they made their own makeshift one.
Yeah.
And they put a shield on the front because they don't know how RPGs work.
Yeah.
And they shot it, and it just absolutely ragdolled the guy because the shield just fucking threw him into the ground.
So, I think the category of weapon we're talking about, it could be most appropriately called a recoilless rocket launcher.
Yeah.
So, it's called recoilless because basically you're shooting a rocket forward, and then all of that energy is going outside of, like, this tube that you're shooting.
The butthole.
Yeah, so the shooter doesn't actually feel that much recoil.
Yeah.
So it's called recoilless, as in there's zero recoil. There's a little.
Yeah.
But it's very little.
Yeah.
All that energy is just going through that tube behind you. And that's what Case is talking about with backblast. So if you're shooting an RPG, there actually wouldn't be a ton of, like, your sights wouldn't go crazy and fly away from you. Like let's say you're shooting a big caliber, like, rocket or rifle.
Yeah.
Not like that. The recoil is all leaving behind you. So you have to make sure that there's nothing behind you to absorb all that energy that's leaving.
Yeah.
Because you can fuck somebody up really bad with it.
If you've ever made a potato gun, you know, like,
we all have.
You're shooting a stupid little potato out.
Yeah.
And then you can shoulder the potato, right?
Yeah.
But it pushes the fuck out of you because it's a potato gun. And you kind of get pushed around, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that potato is a fucking heavy explosive round.
Yeah.
Getting blown. So that's what got pushed into this guy's fucking body.
Yep.
Absolutely ragdolled.
Yes. Horribly. So the Germans actually invented the recoilless rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
In like the mid-1940s, this technology kind of started to be popular in World War II. So the Americans made the M1 Bazooka, which is like a recoilless rocket launcher. Honestly, kind of the shittiest of all.
The M1?
The Bazooka was kind of bad.
That's the one with the shield.
It had a shield. There were some variants with it, mm-hmm. with the shield. Generally, it didn't have one. The Panzer Schreck.
Definitely did.
That's the one with the shield that everybody knows. And that was a reloadable, recoilless rocket launcher that had a giant shield on the front of it. So those shields were really only good for like 4 or 5 rounds before they would start to go, you know, they just become useless.
Is it because like the fire blowing back after it comes out?
That was one of the reasons. And then the other reason is that generally for this weapon to be effective against Russian tanks, they had to be standing pretty close to them.
No.
So they would shoot a Russian tank, and then whatever, whether it blew up the tank or they hit something they weren't meaning to, there would be damage incurred.
That's like the worst thing that you can have with a weapon is you have to be closer to the enemy.
Yes.
For it to work effectively.
Because Russian tanks in World War II, their armor was so good that Germany really struggled to make weapons that could penetrate it. And that even towards the end of the war, the Panzer Schreck was really only good for knocking the treads off of tanks. It wasn't really good at defeating armor.
Were Russian tanks better than American tanks?
It depends on what you mean by better. Like, their armor was better, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, the transmission, like, I've heard a lot of World War II nerds talk about, like, the transmissions went out more often.
It's cold as fuck there. That could be why.
Well, also, just, like, you got to think about how many tanks that the Soviet Union made in World War II. Yeah, there's going to be problems with mass production.
Did they produce way more than us?
So many.
Yeah, it's almost like we showed up late.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think the U.S. made about the same amount of tanks as the Soviet Union in World War II, but the difference is, like, the U.S. could make 1 million tanks and then ship them to Europe, and if half of them didn't work, it's like, oh, well, we've got Ford and General Motors to just make more of them.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union is like, Germany is in our backyard, and like some of the tank factories in Tula, for example, were making tanks, and the second they were done on the production line, they would just like go into combat within like an hour of being made and finished.
The fact that like everything I know about World War II,
yeah,
is all just like fucking American propaganda.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Everything you learn is like, oh yeah, we probably weren't the best.
Well, America was,
we are.
The U.S. was really only involved in, like, the latter half of World War II.
We just keep getting, like, a couple things right. Like, we fucking finished the nuclear bomb first.
Yeah.
Somehow we got to the moon first.
Yeah.
Everything else about the, like, space race, we failed. We kind of lost everything else except the moon.
Yeah.
Well, like, Russia beat us on everything.
Yeah. like half of everything Russia was like.
Yeah.
It was like neck and neck, basically.
How did Russia beat us? They sent a lot of animals up there.
And they all died. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into the argument of like what tank was best in World War II or whatever, because that's a completely different argument. Sherman was the best. Anyway, recoilless rocket launchers, RPG and AT-4. Case, have you shot recoilless rocket launchers?
I shot an AT-4.
How was that?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you shoot like a pistol round first, and then this is only if you went to the ITB infantry school in the Marines, like most pogues, which I actually turned out to be a pogue later. Don't do it, but you shoot so they have like a version of the AT-4 that you shoot that's only loaded with I think it's a 9mm, like it's just a pistol round.
Yeah.
And they can see how it kind of like aims.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets to shoot one, which is kind of cool. And then I hear after I left they don't let you shoot it anymore. And also I hear normal school, like one of the big things in so there's infantry training, which everybody in the Marines goes to infantry training, but then there's advanced infantry training, I guess.
AIT.
It's for all the 0311s, 0331s, 03.
Infantry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went to that because I was going to go do another MOS that I failed. And
yeah.
Yeah. But I went to that and I did both. Like I did the original one for 1 month and then I did the follow-on 2 months of the advanced one, which is where I saw the AT-4. But I guess I've learned that you don't even get to throw a grenade anymore.
What? Really?
I guess they got rid of the grenade thing.
That's so weird.
So I might have been like one of the last classes that ever shot the AT-4.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And I think only 0351s were getting to shoot the AT-4. And those are actual rocket assaulters.
Yeah.
So, like, they narrowed it down to just the MOS is getting to shoot them now. And then, like, 2 years later, like, right when I got out, they got rid of the 0351 MOS.
Interesting.
They got rid of Rocketman.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. I think they'll probably bring it back. Like, they got rid of snipers, 0317s, which is a sniper MOS, which is probably the smallest MOS in the whole Marine Corps.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they got rid of it. But as soon as, like, all this stuff started kicking up at the border with Trump and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think they already brought them back.
I mean, they probably should. I don't know.
Marines love to get rid of MOSs and bring them back.
Bring them back, yeah.
Every time there's a war, they bring back scout snipers.
I know that the Marines are the least, like, they have the worst funding of any branch.
Yeah.
Which sucks because they're
hard. They hate snipers, by the way.
It sucks. They're, like, so important. The Marine Corps snipers are the best. Like, yeah. They're so good.
They get shit on, but they're, like, the best.
Scout snipers is such a good school. Like, I don't know. I may be biased.
They have, like, there's a lot of, like, secret traditions in the scout sniper community that are, like, kept and important.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole Marine Corps tries to, like, shit on them, which is not really understood.
Yeah.
Like, so, whenever you're in scout sniper school, you're called a pig. And then a pig is, like, you're, like, a little bitch. Like, they hate you and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And as you slowly make it through the course, you upgrade into a hog. Because a pig and a hog is a wild pig.
Right.
But they both have acronyms. I don't remember what the pig stands for.
Yeah.
But I know hog stands for the hunter of gunmen.
Okay.
And then they give you a 7.62 round and they put it on a necklace. And they tell you that's the round that's going to kill you. So, like, that would be the round that's supposed to kill you. Yeah. But since you're wearing it on your neck, you can't die. So they're basically telling you, like, it's like the last part of the course.
That's pretty cool.
So you go through this whole course where you get fucked over and you crawl around and you get eaten alive and everybody quits. And they give you, like, a bullet on a necklace.
Right.
And then you're supposed to wear it at all times because you won't die.
Yeah.
And, like, other Marines and other MOSs see you wearing a bullet on a necklace and they complain about it and try to make you take it off.
That's pretty cool.
No, like, it's fucked up that, like, they don't respect the culture.
I know, but I'm saying, like, that's a cool concept.
Oh, yeah, it's like, no, it is cool. Yeah. Obviously, it's not true, but it's like, that was, like, the big thing that happens in Scout Sniper School, I guess, that they get at the end. And they have all the acronyms and all that shit for it, but it's pretty cool.
I guess what you're telling me is that there's, like, a pretty rich culture behind this school. And it's like
nobody respects it because it's so small. and then they get rid of it like every 10 years.
In my opinion, I just think of like the warriors that are going to be cultivated from a school like that. I'm like, those guys are probably
going to be around longer than the people who hate them.
They're so, they're the bravest, most dedicated guys, I would think, right? Mm-hmm. Who went through this like unique experience. That's the kind of stuff you need in the military, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just like this unique, like it's a small group of really dedicated, it's like this brotherhood of like really talented snipers. I think that's a great thing to
have. It's like probably one of the smallest. If you really look into like everything,
yeah,
the like scout sniper Marines are probably smaller than like Navy SEALs.
Oh, they for sure. The Marines are so much smaller.
There's like 1,000.
The only group I can really think of that would be comparably smaller is like Navy EODs. That's a very small group.
I know one guy who I went to boot camp with. He was really cool. And not because we listened to a Joe Rogan podcast. His literal last name was Shrek.
Yeah.
So that's one of them I know. I still know him.
Yeah.
He's a scout sniper. I don't know what he does now because they got disbanded or whatever. And then I knew one other guy in there. But while I was in, like, we were aware one of the school was. So we talked to a whole bunch of them who were in the class. I don't know how many passed. But, I mean, you can just tell when you talk to them, like, they don't really have any rules. They're really cool guys. And then they had the M10 or the M110.
Yeah.
That was the coolest rifle I've ever seen in my life. That's a
great rifle.
I don't know if it's still around. But
I would think so.
I mean, like, I'd never seen... I know that the... what was the one that we had? The M40A3. They had it forever. They had it, like, since Vietnam.
Yeah. That's like a Remington 700,
basically. You know the M10 was what replaced that?
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because even that one's kind of old.
There was Barrett 50 cals and stuff, like, for every sniper unit. That's also another cool thing about the sniper units was that they had a, like... They would have like 10 Barretts for like everybody, not for the whole, like for the whole unit.
Yeah.
So like they could bring in the heavy guns if they needed to, you know?
Yeah.
But the M40A3 like made it until about 2015.
Which is pretty cool.
It's sick.
Yeah. So anyway, the other thing I want, we had another topic about.
Hell yeah.
Vehicles.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I can get into this, but I know a decent amount about the A-10 Warthog.
Yeah.
I know a guy who flies them, and there's like a lot of... I'm familiar with a lot of the politics behind the development of that vehicle, that aircraft.
Yeah.
I don't think I should get in too far deep into that, but I will say this is a gun podcast. The A-10 case...
is a gun.
It's a gun.
It's a motherfucking gun.
That they
gun.
Put wings on.
That's right.
It's just a giant cannon that shoots a huge round faster than you can even think. And it has such heavy recoil and is so heavy that the gun can really only be fired when the plane is dive bombing. Yeah. And the recoil of the gun will keep the plane in the air because it's kicking so hard.
Yeah, like the one thing people complain about the A-10 is that like it's not a jet or it's not like a... plane for dogfights. It's like, obviously.
No, it's not.
It's for whenever you want to destroy everybody in a general area.
Yeah, it's like an area denial plane, and it's so good at what it does. And I guarantee you, if you talk to people who, like, were in the shit in the mid-2000s in Iraq or Afghanistan, I bet they would tell you, oh yeah, an A-10 saved my life one time, because we were in a fight, and we called in air support, and the A-10 deleted... like this fucking 400-yard stretch of land in front of us.
It's the it made the most famous picture, wherever it's that highway. But like they did the gun run down the highway.
Yeah.
And they're like, America's monsters, which we might be. That's kind
of
fucked up.
The highway of death, and that was in 1991, I believe.
Our bad, for real.
Not really. Not really our bad. Just because they're bad at war, and we were better at
we
it.
We won.
Yeah, I was going to say, we won. Like, that was, to people who don't know what we're talking about the Highway of Death, where basically Saddam's Iraqi Republican Guard were transporting a bunch of armored vehicles like tanks and APCs down this giant highway to invade Kuwait. And then the U.S. military, who's allied with Kuwait, were like, well, we're just going to blow up every tank and armored car you send this way on this giant highway in a straight line.
Yeah.
So basically, it, like, just a bunch of A-10s and... attack jets and helicopters just shot at every vehicle on this highway and just blew them all up in like a night It was like a day of just shooting at tanks in a straight line. And if you think about, if you're a tank on a highway and there's like 600 tanks in front of you on like a 4-lane stretch, there's nowhere to go once the road
gets blown. Yeah. And also, this isn't like a normal highway. The sides are just desert.
Yeah, it's desert. So there's nowhere to go. Once the road is blocked, you can't go anywhere.
Dude, that had to be the best day ever of those A-10 pilots'
life. Yeah. There's just ducks in a row to shoot at. So the U.S. military just like destroyed every single vehicle on this road. It's called the Highway of Death because there was just burnt out vehicle, like destroyed burning tanks.
Sick pictures, too.
For miles.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it was like a holocaust of death. And it's like, well, maybe don't invade neighboring countries and the U.S. military won't blow the fuck
out
of
you.
It's
like whenever you play a civilization game and they're like still stuck on the caveman and you got like guns.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's literally what happened. And everyone's like, well, that's a war crime. The U.S. shouldn't have done that. I'm like, why? Because they were bad at war? Don't start a war then. If you suck at fighting, don't fight.
If like being better at war wasn't a problem, we'd probably fuck a lot of people up.
I just think, like, imagine I'm some scrawny little 100-pound guy, and I go and pick a fight with, like, a 300-pound UFC fighter.
You get bodied.
Am I the victim because I picked a bad fight? Yeah. No. I shouldn't have been fighting.
I forget where it is, but, like, some other country decided to start doing UFC fights, and they did one where two pro UFC fighters got in the ring.
Yeah.
And two pro UFC fighters fought 10 guys. Who do you think won?
The UFC fighters.
The UFC fighters wiped the floor with those guys.
Of course, yeah.
They killed them. That's the A-10.
That is the A-10. A-10's a great plane. I do know that there was a lot of drama about it maybe being replaced. To my knowledge, it is still in service. I actually don't know. I'm not in the Air Force. It will always, in my opinion, it will always have a place until we fight another First World Air Force that has an ability to shoot it down.
And we're also in the situation where we already have it.
Yeah, why get rid of it?
If we had the A-10 in Vietnam, guess what? We would have used it.
Oh, yeah.
And isn't it General Electric made it?
I believe so,
yeah. General Electric. There's this whole, like, thing about all these different companies that make, like, your washing machine. Like, General Electric probably made your washing machine. They also made the A-10 Warthog.
Yep, and the minigun and all this stuff. Yeah, yeah. Which is cool.
What's the other one that does a lot of them?
You mean like Boeing or?
Yeah, Boeing does a lot.
Yeah.
And there's so many that make like.
Lockheed.
Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
But Lockheed Martin's known to like only make missiles and stuff.
They do like rockets and missiles. Yeah.
There's like a. Every time you hear one of them that like made some. Oh, sorry. Every time you hear one that made something crazy, it's always so funny.
Yeah. I think General Electric making the minigun is a really funny one because, they make dishwashers.
They made the minigun and the A-10?
I think so.
The giant A-10 gun?
They at least made the gun. I don't know if they made the plane, but they made the gun.
Oh, no, the plane was made by the military around the gun. Right. The gun is literally the size of the plane.
It is. It's a huge gun.
Which is why it maneuvers so bad and people are like, there's all these people on the internet who are like, the A-10's not even a good fighter plane.
It's not
like,
a fighter plane.
No, it's not a fighter plane. It's to blow up 50 fucking tanks.
Yeah.
In one run.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
You do a dive bomb and you just destroy like a line of anything.
Yeah. And there was like some like whenever the Ukraine war took off, people were like, here's why tanks don't work in war anymore because drones are made.
Yeah.
And I was like, tanks already haven't worked in fucking First World Wars forever. Like First World Country Wars.
Yeah.
Which is what Ukraine and Russia are.
Yeah.
But whenever you're fighting, like, Afghanistan or, like, some place that doesn't have tanks, a lot of tanks, tanks work really well.
Yeah.
But we've already solved that problem.
But it's like if you're the U.S. military fighting the Iraqi military.
Yeah, you can use tanks.
Well, it's like the Iraqis tried to use tanks, but then, like, the U.S. Air Force is so much.
Blow them the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like they're just useless against the U.S. Air Force. So.
Air support is important.
It's the most important thing. I mean, short of having boots on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Case. Non-gun topic. What's the best alcohol?
Best alcohol?
Like, what's a good alcohol to drink?
I've actually been thinking about this, and so tequila's the best one if you... So I guess tequila's the only alcohol that isn't a downer.
Is that true?
Yeah, I guess it's true. Yeah, it's an upper.
Yeah.
Because it's a plant.
Well, I've been told by a doctor that people with my condition, alcohol is actually an upper.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what the doctor told
me. What's your favorite?
So I'm a big vodka guy.
I love vodka. That's what I would have said. Either way, fuck tequila. Bro, vodka tastes so good.
I think vodka is a drink for... It's liquor for people who don't like liquor. So you
just put it with juice. I was going to say, juice.
You put it with anything and it tastes like... It doesn't even taste like liquor anymore.
Yeah.
You mix it with orange juice, Sprite, whatever you got, man.
Dude, I've hung out with like so many guys and they're like... You drink vodka crayons? I'm like, bro, you never drink vodka crayons?
Yeah.
And then me and that guy drink vodka crayons, and he's like, that was the best fucked up I ever got.
Yeah,
yeah,
man.
Dude, you can pound vodka crayons.
It tastes and like juice.
Evil vodka crayons is vodka Red Bulls.
Yes, it is evil.
It's evil.
And then you feel like jittery. And then
you
feel
like you're going to die.
Have you ever been like talking to like a hot girl and you drink a bunch of like Red Bull vodkas and you're just like...
Ugh. You ever had like a girl who... You don't know if she's going to flirt with you, and then randomly she kind of flirts with you?
Yeah.
That's how I feel when I drink vodka Red Bull.
That's literally how it feels.
Gets me fucking going.
You're like, I might get my wiener sucked.
I'm like, and then, like, she stops replying, and for, like, 2 minutes, my heart thinks it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit.
You put a Benelli in your mouth.
Where's she at? She's fucking somebody else right now.
I think vodka's the best.
That's honestly what I thought. I just think tequila, if it didn't taste so bad, would be the best.
Tequila can be so gross if you don't mask it correctly. You have to make it really well.
Have you had really expensive tequila?
Yes, and it's
good. Doesn't taste like tequila.
It doesn't. It
doesn't taste like anything.
It's like water, basically. Yeah.
Which is why, I guess, really expensive tequila is important. But, like, if you pay for expensive tequila, it doesn't taste like tequila, which is what you want.
Yeah.
And, like... I mean, same with vodka. If you pay for really expensive vodka, like Grey Goose doesn't taste like vodka.
I like Tito's.
Yeah, the best. Tito's is going to be fun.
It just tastes like water, basically.
Tito's made in Texas.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tito's is made in Texas, and they say they're like, we're the vodka for dogs. They're dog lovers.
That's so funny.
So, like, they're like, we like dogs, and we're from Texas. And I'm like, give me that shit.
Yeah.
But it does taste the best. Like
it does.
And there's a... So I guess like cheap vodka in America is potatoes, and then I forget what Tito's is, but wheat's the second worst, and then but like potato vodka is like Popov. You know Popov?
I don't know Popov.
It's like a fucking plastic bottle, and then it's it looks like a Soviet Union stamp on it. It's okay. Like Popov.
Like Hammer and Sickle or
It's super bad. That's and it's bad. About $6.99 a handle.
Jesus
a
Christ.
A gallon is like $6.99.
That's cheap.
Yeah, it's vodka.
Yeah.
But it's a potato vodka.
I know that like they make vodka that comes in like a plastic container.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's so bad.
That's what Popov is. Yeah.
It's gross. I would never drink that.
There's McCormick's.
Yep.
McCormick's is like that. I think McCormick's is a...
Icky.
Potatoes, too.
Yeah, that's icky.
Potato vodka.
No good.
Well, I guess the vodka in America is also, like, all the same, but not. Like, they have to keep it to, like, the same levels.
Same
and then,
standard and stuff.
Yeah, in other countries, they make it, like, really high proof or really low.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about that. All I know is that vodka, when you mix it with orange juice and a tiny bit of cranberry, tastes good really good. Fuck. Yeah. And it'll get you drunk very quickly. And everybody's like, oh, it's a girly drink. I'm like, dude, whatever.
Like seltzers more than beer?
I do like seltzers more than beer. I feel like beer, I feel like I get bloated very quickly.
Oh, shit.
And it's like I'm drinking carbs.
I just drink a fuckload of beers.
But it's so heavy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're... Because I've definitely been like 5 or 6 beers in, and like I'm full. Like, I just ate a big meal.
I just drink like 15 beers and be like, wow, I don't feel good. I don't feel the best.
Dude, I'm going to write that on your tombstone when you die. Like, wow, I don't feel good.
Yeah, he drank 19 beers. He didn't feel good.
Oh, man. Also, I will say, I get the shits real bad after drinking too much beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a gun pad.
Well, Sean's definitely knows that I'm the biggest alcoholic he knows.
Second biggest.
Who's number one?
Me, brother.
No.
No, it's you.
I thought it was going to be a girl we know.
No, we can't talk about that.
God damn.
We can't talk about that. I know you drink a lot of beer.
Make sure to tell her to watch this one.
Shut up. Stop doxing people. What's your favorite beer to drink? What's the best beer?
So I like Budweiser.
Okay.
But, I don't know.
Cuck.
Is Budweiser cuck?
Gay.
Gay?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Yingling's good, too, but...
Youngling?
Yeah, Youngling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Budweiser's the best.
Okay. What do you like? I like Coronas because it's very light. I like the
Corona's the heaviest one.
Corona Premieres are like super light, I thought.
Holy shit. Coronas. So, you know how they're called light beers, like Bud Light, Budweiser, and all that as light beers? Corona's a heavy beer.
Why is it a heavy beer?
Because it's like, you know, like if you ordered a Guinness.
Yeah.
Mexican beer is like heavy. Like Modelo's are heavy.
But Guinness is super like thick.
Yeah, so it's a clearer beer, but it's thick. Like a Corona's like Modelo's, or Corona is like a Guinness. Like it's the same thickness.
Interesting.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't, because it tastes like just it's like light to me.
Whenever you buy a Corona, does it say Corona Light?
It says I buy the Corona Premieres.
Yeah, because they're not light. That means they're like. 8%.
I wonder if this is like me talking to you about beer. I wonder if this is like what a non-gun person feels like when they talk to me.
Yeah, I know a bunch about beer.
Yeah, I don't know anything about beer.
Yeah, Coronas are heavy, which might be why you like them more.
Because they get me drunk fast and I don't feel as bad?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You didn't know they were heavy beers?
No, I had no idea.
You just saw the yellow and were like, that's a light beer.
I thought it was a light beer.
No, they're heavy.
What's the lightest beer?
Like Bud Light or Busch Light.
Something like that.
They're like 3%. And then a Corona's like 8 or 6.
Yeah, but what about the... I'm talking about like the calorie content. Like...
Oh, Michelob Ultra's like...
The lightest.
Yeah, it's like 60 calories.
Because I feel like the Coronas are
110,
fairly...
actually. I think Michelob Ultra's are the lightest and they're 110. So, one Michelob Ultra's like 110 calories. And then if you drink like 15... That's like your whole fucking...
Your day of calories.
Yeah, and then like every other beer is heavier than that. So that'll just let you know that drinking beer is not good.
Oh, it's really bad.
Hey, it's sick.
Well, that's why I like Coronas, because I feel like I could have like 3 or 4 of them.
And Coronas have like 230 calories.
You're shitting me in a bottle of them?
Yeah, dude.
Do you want to do a podcast Google on that?
All right, here, let me show you.
How many calories does a fucking Corona Premiere have? Because what mistakes have I been making in my life? Well, I know that, like, liquor doesn't have very many calories in it, but it fucks up your body in other ways. Like, alcohol is, like, one of the worst things you could be drinking.
90 calories. So they're less.
90. Yeah, 90. That makes sense.
Okay, so you're paying for it to have less calories.
That makes sense. That's why I like them, is because, like, they don't have... they're not as, like, heavy in terms of its caloric intake, which makes sense.
That does make sense. I guess you're paying for...
Because you could have, like, 3 or 4 of them, and, like, it's not like you just ate a full fucking meal.
Damn.
What?
Normal Coronas have 156.
Yeah.
So it's double.
Yeah, I don't drink those.
Yeah. Yeah, Coronas are heavy.
Damn.
Corona Zero. Zero has 56. Corona Light, 99. Corona Premier. So you're drinking, like, the third heaviest. Corona Extras have 148. Damn, that's crazy.
Man, I want to go back to the range and shoot again.
Sorry, I had to close my Pornhub tab.
Oh, yeah, yeah? No, did you have one open?
Yeah, I was really watching some fucking...
Like Piper Perry or something?
Oh, my God, she's dead.
She's not dead.
She died.
Piper Perry's dead?
First off, I don't know. Second off, she definitely died.
I thought her son died.
Oh, her son died, yeah.
I'm like, she's...
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Not on the pod.
Oh, dude, this is going to be a crazy pod. We're talking porn. We're talking beers.
Okay, so talk about your favorite porn star, Piper Perry.
You're
like, I don't want to.
I have a good story.
I want to hear the story.
So whenever I was in the military, I had a buddy who... I didn't go on the boat, but like whenever you deploy, sometimes you go on boat and all this stuff. And whenever you're on boat, there's no Wi-Fi or anything. So, like, all the porn you want, you have to bring it with you. And this guy, he brought all the porn he wants with him. And then, like, you kind of have to trade with people, like, if they have the porn.
Like Pokemon cards?
Yeah, you literally have to do that on the boat. Yeah, like, So, like, if you like black girls, you got to go find the guy who's got the black girl Pokemon. This guy had to go see his chain of command because all the porn he brought was, like, specifically the Piper Perry girl.
Yeah.
Which, if you look her up, she looks really young.
Yeah.
And they thought this guy just brought fucking child porn on the boat.
Ugh.
Yeah. But he had, like, only girls who looked like her. But that was his favorite one, he specifically told me.
Gross.
And I was, like, cracking up. This is the same guy who the day of the New Zealand shooting happened. He was like, have you seen this shit?
Oh, like, no. So
he was super online. Like, he knew about
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was like, don't bring the fucking girl who looks like she's underage to the boat. Because there's no internet, and they will think you're a child predator. Like, for the whole boat ride home, they thought he was a child predator.
They thought he was a perv,
Yeah, they thought he had child porn until they got home. I mean, he was like, hey, this is on Pornhub. And then they were like, God damn it, we thought we had him.
Good God.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't blame them. I feel bad for those, like, the chain of command people who had, like, they said, like, oh, one of our Marines is, like, looking at images of, like, naked 16-year-olds or whatever.
Well, it was definitely on him, by the way, because he had a lot. He had a lot.
Why are you bringing fucking...
He was like, it was a big file. And, like, also, it's not that long to be at sea, so he was really collecting. Like, he was trying to get them all, and he was trading that, and, like, for some reason, everybody wanted that. I don't know.
How long do you think he was at sea? Like, 2 weeks?
No, it was, like, months.
Okay.
So he's out there for, like, 3 months at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
But then you dock, and then you can, like, and that's when they found it. He was, like, so he was in between his, like, 2 or 3 months wherever he was at sea.
Yeah.
And then they docked, and then they figured out, like, oh, he's not a fucking child predator. Real poor.
Yeah.
But for, like, a little bit there, they were really questioning
him. They were, like, on to him about
this.
But,
yeah, it was because of, specifically Piper Perry.
Good God, man.
Yeah. Good. Which, I mean, can you even question that?
I mean, I would have if I didn't know, because, like...
No, I'm saying, like, obviously when you watch it, you're like, can we charge this guy? Wait till we get to shore.
Yeah, yeah.
But whenever you watch that shit, you could definitely see it not being.
I will say,
so small.
I've never watched any of her videos. I have seen still images of it, and I'm like,
she's
not...
She's like 4'6".
What? No.
Yeah, she's like 4'6" or
that's
4'8".
Fucking, that's a midget. That's not even a little kid at that point. That's like a small person.
Maybe she's like 4'10".
I don't know. Don't Google it. You don't want that.
Google podcast.
Do not Google that, because that's going to be bad. Dude, don't Google it. I'm telling you. That's going to be so bad in your search history if you Google that.
What are you talking about? You don't even know what I Googled.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know what's in your search history.
That's crazy.
I don't want to know. How tall is she, dude? What's Google saying?
It says she's 5'10". She better not be taller than me.
Dude, if Piper Perry was taller than you...
This is a fucking... She's a fucking Marvel hero, too. Dude, holy shit.
Dude, if she's 5'10 and looks like a 12-year-old girl, that's insanity. Oh, my God.
What the fuck is this? Why can't we find...
Let me see. What did you Google?
Piper Perry. That's what it is.
What did you look up?
Height.
What did you look up, Case?
Piped Perry.
Oh, man.
She's 4'9".
Okay, that's way different than 5'10".
Yeah, she's 4'9", but I said she was like maybe 4'6".
Okay, 4'9" is...
4'9"'s crazy.
That is crazy.
Damn. Yeah, no wonder they thought this motherfucker was a fucking... Look at her. This is how tall she is.
Ew. Dude, get that off your... I don't want to look at that.
She's not even naked. Okay, so first off, this is sound only. It was like her fully dressed in that picture.
Yeah, she's fully dressed, but she was standing next to a grown adult man, and it was just, ugh.
Yeah, so that's why that guy got called out.
Ugh.
Dude, my,
Can you imagine? Oh, man.
All right. We got more stuff to talk about.
We have so much more to talk about.
I can do another military story that we got cut out.
Yeah, yeah.
People love these ones.
Okay.
But this one got cut out. Remember the cuckold guy?
I do remember the cuckold guy.
Okay, so this story got cut out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I had a buddy who I was really best friends with in the military. And I don't know if you guys know what a cuckold is, but a cuckold is...
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows probably what it is. A cuckold is a guy who, like, is dating a girl and wants someone else to fuck their girlfriend.
Yeah.
They, like, think it's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like to watch.
This guy was a cuckold. And I guess, like... If you're friends with them, most guys who are cuckolds probably don't want you to know or whatever because it's embarrassing. This guy, complete opposite. He wanted everybody to know. And also,
he would, like, get the hottest chicks ever.
Yeah.
But then he would start dating them, and then they would not cheat on him.
They're, like, loyal.
Yeah, they were loyal, and he, like, could not convince his girlfriends to cheat on him.
Oh, my God.
And he would, like, come to work and complain that his girlfriend or his... he actually got married later, like, down the road. He got married, but he would, like, complain that his girlfriend and his wife, like, wouldn't cheat on him. And it was the funniest shit ever because, like, he was, like, begging people to fuck his wife.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, he was, like, all specific about it. Like, I don't want fucking Jones over here to fuck my wife. You know, point to guys we were working with. He'd be, obviously, I don't want Jones to fuck my wife. But I And, like, the big fear in the military is, like, if you deploy that your wife's going to cheat on you and all this stuff. And he was like, dude, I need to fucking deploy so my girlfriend can cheat on me.
Oh, my God.
And he was, like, it was so funny. And, like, he didn't give a fuck.
Good God, dude.
He just was like, I need somebody to fuck my girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Why does that turn you on?
I don't know why I turned that guy on. It was so funny, though. Like, he loved it. But it was funny because it was like, no matter what your girlfriend does, you cannot get her to do it.
Yeah.
He just wanted his girlfriend to fuck other people, and she wouldn't.
I wonder what methods he used to be like, hey, so there's, like, this kind of fun guy. Maybe you should come fix our plumbing.
Well,
like,
it started off so funny because he told all of us about it, and he was like, I didn't tell my girlfriend about it. That was the first one.
Yeah.
He had, like, three in the time I was there.
Like, girlfriends?
His first one was like, I don't want to tell her about it because it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then by his third one, he was like, dude, I fucking told her to fucking start cheating on me or else I'm going to dump her.
Oh, my. What the fuck?
And they still couldn't get him to do it.
Holy shit.
Dude, he was awesome.
That's so funny. So I got to think, this guy's gameplay must have been like, well, I ordered so many DoorDashes and pizzas to her house. Manuel was supposed to deliver
her. He might have been, like, gay. I don't know. But he did not give a fuck.
I don't know. You got to question the psyche. What goes on behind the mask of a man like that?
He also was the quickest guy to, like, go from girlfriend to girlfriend.
Oh, I see.
Of the group. Like, as soon as he got dumped, he already had another girlfriend.
That makes sense.
So he might have just been a cheater.
Maybe.
But he wanted his girlfriend to fuck
I will say, people. I want guys like that in the military. Because how scary is that? If you're on the battlefield, you got this sexual freak behind an M249.
We weren't even in, like, a combat role.
I don't care.
Horny all the time.
That guy should have been in a combat role because he would have been a monster, I bet.
Dude, he was... Oh, dude, there's so much stuff about him. Like, there's a couple guys who, like, were good-looking guys. And he'd be like, dude, I just really like I would fuck my girlfriend.
Yeah, okay, this guy's gay. Like, this guy's like, gay.
Okay. Why aren't you picking me, first off? Second off, like, he might be gay.
Why aren't you picking me?
So funny. Yeah, I wouldn't fuck his girlfriend.
Because he's like, hey, Jones can't fuck my girl. What was wrong with Jones?
And it wasn't like he was pulling you aside to talk about it. He was like, talking about it to the group.
He was like announcing it.
Yeah, and then everybody would like go talk to that guy. Like, this guy wants you to fuck his wife. And he's like, that's weird. And we'd all be like, I don't know, that's what he said.
Holy shit.
And he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I bet he was.
And there's one time where he was going to fight a guy.
What? He's going to fight a guy?
Like, he was, like, joking about, like, oh, man, that'd be hard if that guy fucked my girl. And then the guy didn't think it was funny. He was like, why are you fucking me? I don't want to fuck it. Because you can get in trouble in the military. You can, like, go to the brig if you fuck somebody else's wife while they're married.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, a rule in the military that if you cheat on your spouse, you can go to the brig.
Sure, yeah.
So he's like, you're trying to get me in trouble trying to get me to fuck your wife so you can go to the brig?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want you to fuck my wife because it's hot. And, like, they were, like, fighting about it.
Oh, my God.
He was like, oh, yeah, I'll fuck you up if you don't fuck my wife. It's sick, dude.
Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah, there's all these crazy people.
Oh, my God.
There's, like, one guy I knew in the military who married a stripper.
Yeah.
And he had, like, 5 kids, and then it turned out all the kids weren't his.
That tends to happen. Yeah. I mean, how many guys do you know in real, like, out of the military, I almost said in real life,
that are divorced? All of them.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, they have kids, and they're just like, I don't know if it's mine.
I don't know about that, but I know everybody I know in the military who I knew who got married,
Oh, I got married too. Uh-oh. Everybody I know who is in the military, including me, who got married, is now divorced.
That's kind of how it works.
I feel like
if you're in the military and you get married before the age of like 24, like your odds of it lasting is just not that good.
And I did it the right way. Like I only had like a year left
when
I got married. It wasn't like I just fucking rushed into it like everybody else does.
You weren't like 18 and got married. Yeah. It's different.
So... Oh, yeah, almost everybody I know who's in the military is divorced, and it's like kind of like a normal thing.
It is.
And my close buddy who I know who's been, he's not from the military like I knew him before the military.
Yeah.
He got married, and he's in the military now. And last time I hung out with him, he was like, how did you get divorced? He was always asking me about it.
Uh-oh.
He's ready.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's ready.
Not good.
That's what happens.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's rough, dude.
Hell yeah. I love it.
Well, that's the best alcohol, everybody.
Yeah.
Vodka.
Hey, and we had a good one. This is a good pod.
We did have a good podcast. Well, I feel like we had a lot of other topics to hit, but I guess we'll hit those next
week. You
want to
do a long one? Do a long one.
I want to do a long one?
Yeah, let's do a long
one. Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about one more thing, and then we'll call it after that. One more topic, everybody.
Yeah, let's do a long one.
Okay. All right. Best looking battle rifle. So, we got it like... M14,
that's G3. The one I was going to choose.
Okay, well, let's go through the whole list. M14, the G3, 308 rifle.
Yeah.
HKG3. You got, like, the SCAR, FAL. You've got, like, bolt-action 308 battle rifles.
I'm Googling.
Google.
To win.
Do podcast Google. 308 battle rifles.
There's so many good ones. Which one's yours?
I mean, nothing's ever going to beat the SCAR. I also think foul with wooden furniture is the only thing that comes close. But 308 battle rifles.
Yeah, I just think it's the M14.
M14 over SCAR?
Well, the way it looks, not off of performance.
For sure, just like looks alone.
Yeah, it's just so sexy.
Yeah. You could also say an AR-10. AR-10s count.
Yeah, but there's so many of those. The FAL is nice.
Yeah.
But it's, like, so beat, like, how old it looks.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What's that? Oh, PSG?
The HK-91.
Well, that is a G3. That's a G3.
Yeah, that thing did look good.
HK-91 is a G3, basically. Just a different designation with a different name.
HK-91 does look better than the EBR.
You think so?
Yeah.
The EBR, which is just an M14 variant, is pretty cool looking. I feel like cheek pads look stupid on guns.
Oh, yeah.
But on the M14, EBR, I think the cheek pad looks kind of neat.
The M14 is like the last gun that was postmodern, that got modernized, and it looked good.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It used to be a wooden rifle, and then they just, like, put plastic all
over
it.
Like, whenever they take a fucking cowboy gun or a... like anything like that, and they put Picatinny rails all over and stuff. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Stupid, yeah.
Yeah. I just hate it. I don't know. The MK11 is a 5.56, right?
Mark 11?
Yeah, the Mark 11.
I don't know if I know the Mark 11.
What's the Mark 19 and the Mark 11?
The Mark 19 is a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Mark 19 is a fully. Are you talking about the Mark 18?
I thought there was a rifle that was the MK-19.
Look it up. I'm familiar with the fully automatic grenade launcher, which is the Mark 19.
Let's see. But yeah, the Mark 11 is so nice. Yeah, it says grenade, but there's a sniper rifle.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
It comes up as not a sniper rifle. There's a sniper rifle that's called that.
M19 something or other?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But the MK11 was very sexy, but I think it's 5.56.
You're not talking about the M110, are you?
Might be the M110. No, that's the one that we just talked about earlier.
Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit.
Here you go.
There's also the SR25, which is a different thing.
M10.
We're doing a podcast, Google, everybody.
Oh, it's the Mark 17, not 19.
Ah,
okay. The Mark 17... FN SCAR.
Yeah, that's a SCAR H.
Yeah. God damn it.
You're just talking about the SCAR?
Yeah, I like the SCAR.
Yeah, the SCAR is fucking awesome, dude, of course. It's a SCAR H.
The MK-11 was a 7.62 times 51 NATO.
That's 308.
Yeah. The MK-11 might be my favorite 308 because it was very cool. Designed by Eugene Stoner?
SR-25.
Knights Armament Company. Okay, yeah. Maybe this is the best one.
It's neat, for sure. That's an AR-15. That's literally just an AR-15.
Or AR-10, right?
No.
Okay.
That's an AR-15. It's an AR-15 chambered in 308. We haven't really talked about this on the podcast yet. Do you want me to get into that real quick?
Rotating bolt, yeah.
Yeah, that's an AR-15. People are like, oh, any AR-15 chambered in 308 is an AR-10. No, it's not. I will say, it's kind of a silly thing to debate and argue about, because whether you call it an AR-10 or AR-15, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But an AR-10 is a predecessor to an AR-15, and they do use the same action, direct impingement, so they're kind of the same gun. So if we were to be really, really specific, the AR-15 is an AR-10 chambered in .223 that had a lot of cosmetic and functional design changes made by Jim Sullivan. So the AR-15 and the AR-10 are very similar guns. I will say, if you call an SR-25 an AR-10, I do disagree, because the charging handle is very... It's an AR-15 charging handle, not an AR-10 charging handle. Same with, like, the safety selector and the way the carry handle is. Mm. It's all AR-15 stuff, not AR-10. So it's more closely related to that. The only thing it has in common with the AR-10 is that it's chambered in .308, but there are plenty of AR-15s chambered in .308, so...
This is the SR-25...
Yes.
They adopted it as the MK-11 Mod Zero in May 2000. Damn.
Mark 11.
In 2011, or 2000?
Yeah.
Holy shit, this thing is beautiful for how old it is.
It's ancient, yeah.
Yeah.
25 years, yeah.
How the fuck, this thing would fucking, you think this is better than the SCAR or not?
It was used way before the SCAR.
That's what I'm saying.
I talked about this in our Chick
Sticks. Sniper variant of the effing SCAR, yeah.
Yeah, I talked about this in our Chick Stick Scars episode. Is that a big...
SSS Mark 20.
What are you talking about?
The Special Forces version of the SCAR.
SCAR 20, yeah. Yeah. We talked about all this in our Chick Stick Scars episode. Remember that?
Yeah.
How there's three variants of SCAR. There's the light, the heavy, and the 20.
Damn.
So...
They messed this up, dude. They could have had the SCAR actually be something.
What are you talking about?
They didn't, like, do anything with it.
What are you talking about?
Well, obviously, just like the Mark 11, the Mark 20, like, they didn't have enough people use it to, like, make it memorable.
Oh, because the SCAR 20 was so late in its life cycle, yeah. Though. I mean,
the SCAR... But just like the Mark 11, like, nobody got to use it, but it was so good.
Oh, tons of people used the SR-25.
Yeah.
The SR-25 is what the Reaper used, dude.
Yeah. Well,
they were using it.
People were talking about how it has probably one of the best, like, groups.
Yes.
Yeah, it has probably one of the best groups ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's direct impingement.
But fucking, the SCAR wasn't better?
What do you mean?
Like, the Mark 20 wasn't better than the Mark 11? Like, how they varianted it?
It's... So, it's first of all, let's be specific. You're talking about SR-25 and SCAR 20.
Yeah.
Are you asking me if the SCAR 20 was better than the SR-25?
Is the SCAR 20 the 5.56 version?
No.
Oh, okay. So, the SR-25 probably is better, I'm going to guess. Because it's literally a sniper.
Well, what do you mean by better?
It's just like a 308 DMR. Which one was better as a 308 DMR?
I personally think that the SCAR 20 is better.
There we go.
But think about what time it was made and when it was used.
Way later.
Way later, like over 10 years after the SR-25.
But, so the SCAR just didn't get its, like...
chance.
Yeah.
So the SCAR first started to be issued to units in 2009.
Oh, so it was already, like...
I mean...
Bad.
I think that the SCAR mainly shined in about 2013.
It only had, like, 4 years.
Yeah, basically. Like, 2009 to 13 is when the SCAR was mainly used.
Yeah.
And then now it's seeing resurgence in the Ukraine conflict.
But between... The Mark 11 was 2000s.
Yeah.
Compared to 2009.
Yeah.
So it missed out on 9 years of operations.
So here's the thing. The SR-25, in the context of the GWAT, Global War on Terror,
yeah,
was probably a better gun because it was direct impingement, which meant that the weight was more evenly distributed amongst the entire gun. And it wasn't a big deal if you had to, like, say you're like Chris Kyle and you're like on top of a building in a city,
yeah,
and all you have to do is like lay prone and sit there and wait for your chance to shoot, it's probably a better gun for that.
Yeah.
However, if you're in the Ukraine conflict and you're fighting in Bakhmut in the city,
yeah,
and you have to take your gun and snipe somebody and then run to a different building and then clear houses to houses with that gun on your back, mm, and then get it out when you get back to a roof again and then snipe somebody else, the SCAR is probably better for that.
So it's lighter and easier to move.
Yes.
And also
more maneuverable.
And
more,
it can do more things besides just be a sniper.
Yeah, it's more modular. Mm. The SR-25, though, is a longer gun. It has less recoil.
Huge.
It's huge. And also, you can't fold it. You can't compress it.
Yeah.
It's just that big forever and ever. Amen. It's huge. But it's a really good weapon if you're stationary and you need to shoot something from really far away.
Yeah.
The SCAR, however, is really good for, like, first of all, it's a good long-range weapon. It's good for, like, you can shoot it with mods, night vision.
Yeah.
It's good for, like, if you have to go a really long time without maintenance and you never clean it.
Yeah.
Great for that. SR-25, probably not so much. You don't want sand in that action, so.
Oh, yeah. I remember looking up the MK-11 SR-25.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, like, it was known as having the craziest group.
Yes.
And, like, they're so rare now.
Yeah.
Just because. But I'm guessing the SCAR version would be even rarer.
Yeah, I mean, the SCAR 20 is kind of a newer thing.
Yeah.
I think it was in, like, the last 5 or 6 years that that got developed.
Yeah.
And still, even today, like, in Ukraine, the SCAR 17 or the SCAR H, the one I have,
yeah,
is the one being used.
Do you think there's a better DMR?
I think that, in terms of quality, JP Enterprise makes a DMR. That's mm-hmm. a take on the SR-25. And I think theirs is better than Knight's Armament.
Oh, damn. The MK was Knight's Armament.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Which is a great company. Knight's Armament makes good stuff. But I will say JP, their 308 DMRs that are semi-automatic are so fucking good that it's hard to... it's hard to imagine something being better than that.
Also, Knight's Armament is kind of like a whisper name wherever, like, they're rare now.
They are, yeah.
So, like, everybody talks about how good they are, but also, like... they're like a whisper name, which means they're kind of dying off. Like, they should
be... it's a small company.
They need to be making more if they want to stay the best.
I will say...
they're like the ones who they're like, oh, it's the Secret Service uses it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think Knight's Armament, their best product is their LMG.
What is it?
Just the CAC LMG.
It's good?
Oh, dude, it's so good. So it's like, think of an in-between, like, you know, like SIG's M250?
Yeah.
That might replace...
amazing.
Which is a crazy good gun.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere. And then also the M249, which is also a great gun. I would say the CAC LMG...
you gonna combine those two?
It's in between them. It's not as good as the 250, and it's better than the 49.
Nothing's better than the 249.
I think it's better than...
M249.
It's lighter.
Yeah, I mean, the M249 is, like, there's a reason it got fucking taken out. It's because it's 5.56, and it's just an automatic fucking...
yeah.
Yeah, like, it's nothing special.
Well, let's look up the CAC LMG right now.
I need to see a picture of it. If it's hot, I'm going to be pissed.
It's really cool.
Oh, it's hot!
So this was one of the last guns designed by Eugene Stoner.
Oh, it's hot!
And it was one of the first LMGs to ever become equipped with a suppressor, like, standard.
Yeah. What does it shoot?
5.56.
Okay.
But
well, so it's probably better than M249.
It's very compact. It takes M4 like accessories and attachments.
Yeah.
So like it will take like an M4 stock or like an M16 stock and pistol grip and stuff like that. So it's very, very compact. It's very lightweight. It takes 250 to 300 round box magazines, like belt magazines.
Do they sell this?
Not to civilians. But
oh my god, why are gun YouTubers not reviewing anything good? You have FFLs.
But it's a super good... the CAC LMG
that
is...
that thing looks sick.
It's... yeah, it's better than the M249.
Yeah, it looks better in every way. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That thing looks crazy.
I will say, I don't think it's as good as the 250. But it's super, super good.
The SIG?
SIG 250, yeah.
Yeah, those are fucking a myth anyways. You seen anybody shooting them?
No, I haven't. But
no, only gun tubers.
Right.
Only Grantham.
Got the 250, yeah.
Yeah, he has like one video on it.
Yeah.
And then everything else is like fucking... don't know. It doesn't seem like they're making them.
Well, they'll slowly start to phase in and out. They'll slowly start to replace the 49. But the thing is, we have a ton of 49s right now, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like people should be talking about it.
Case, what do you think the best state in America is?
Best state?
Yeah. The concept of the state.
The concept of the state?
Yeah, like, what's the best one?
Fucking...
We're asking the important questions.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma?
Yeah, nothing's going on there.
Cook a cast iron skillet in there, baby.
Yeah. Was Oklahoma the one who had all red?
All red? What?
During the election, like, no county wasn't.
I think it was. Yeah, there's super Republican.
No, I don't think it's Oklahoma. I don't know. There's, like, which state can you have the most fun in? Florida?
Yeah.
Or California?
Nevada?
Yeah. Well, Nevada's only, like, a little spot.
It's just Vegas.
Yeah, it's only that one county. It's
prostitution's legal, weed's legal,
yeah, I think. Yeah, Florida, the whole place is like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Florida's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of Rhode Island because it's just, like, tiny.
Small.
Yeah, you could drive through it.
And like Maine might be fun. We were talking about Maine earlier.
We were talking about Maine earlier. You could just go up and down the coast.
Yeah, we learned that Maine is the number one biggest coast area in all of America. Bigger than California.
Which is crazy.
Google it if you don't believe us. I guess it is.
Bigger than California in terms of...
What the fuck?
Worst state?
Worst state?
Worst state conceptually?
Fucking...
New York.
I think of Texas.
Texas?
Good Lord. Texas.
We got to stop this podcast.
Yeah.
I think, dude, did you hear that cowboy just break in? Fuck. He's coming to get us. All right, Case, get the gun. Load it real quick. Wait.
Get the gun.
Oh. All right, Squibbloid Podcast, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Whee!